Time to play with pain. Hosted by Emmy-winning comedian and writer Jeff Cesario. Interviewing guests from comedy, entertainment, and sports. Plus, legendary sportscaster Chet Waterhouse. Don't worry, this shouldn't take longer than your average trip to Costco. And now, here's your host, Jeff Cesario.
Well, look at us up on a Wednesday. Very rare for us to actually tape an episode on a Wednesday. But welcome to Play with Pain. Great show for you. My guest is the voice of the World Series of Poker, a man who makes Edith Piaf look optimistic, the Mad Cherub, Norman Chad. Norm, how are you today? You look good. Look at you. Are you diving into that wine rack?
No, but always good to be with you. It's preferable to an enema.
Hey, nowadays, look, that right there, that phrase right there will jump us, I swear to God, 10 places on the podcast ratings list. We're going to do a full Chad chat in just a second. But first, Chet, do you have an update for us? Do the Real Housewives of Miami have separate refrigerators just for their Botox? Of course I have an update. Time for the Waterhouse update, sponsored by Wrench Sylvania, a whole state full of discount wrenches. America's pastime. No, not wondering what hot actress will get bored with Pete Davidson next. Baseball. Dodgers playing so well, they're favored to win 3 Emmys. Yankees slumping worse than MyPillow stock. Baltimore in the playoff hunt for the first time since Screaming Yellow Zonkers was a thing. And finally, Hawaii won the Little League World Series and will now face the Cincinnati Reds for a chance to move up into the National League. That wrap-up sponsored by Thumbrella. Keep your hand high and dry in bad weather with Thumbrella. NFL. Aaron Rodgers' receivers are so young, they're super bored with TikTok. The Chicago Bears receivers are so young, they make the Packers receivers look like the Doobie Brothers. Tom Brady, back from his 11-day break at the Brookhaven National Laboratory's Particle Accelerator for his bi-yearly tune-up. That item sponsored by Craprika. If you just want your deviled eggs to look tasty, try Craprika. Tennis! U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. Quarterfinals, Kristen Sinema beat Lauren Boebert in straight sets. I might have that wrong. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1906, the place, Newport, Rhode Island, U.S. National Tennis Championship. William Clothier beat defending champ Beals Wright. Said Clothier, "I can't wait to get out of these clothes." This Waterhouse update sponsored by Spit Stop, the gas station just for tobacco chewers. Now back to Jeff and the best peripheral sports announcer in the business, Norman Chad. Wow, thank you, Chet. That was he seems to be a huge fan of yours.
I didn't know what peripheral but I took it as a backhanded compliment.
Hey, look, it's as Chet likes to say, even a left-handed compliment is part compliment. So, you know, you got to take what you get. And let's be honest, poker, although I'll say this, poker to me is a far more legitimate sport than eating hot dogs.
Not even close. And, you know, both used to populate ESPN, Poker, the World Series of Poker, now on CBS Sports Network, which I believe is direct TV channel pie.
It's hard to that's gonna be hard to type in on a remote.
but yes, poker is more legitimate, and people in poker do not have that Joey swagger. After downing 60 hot dogs, he acts like he's Sinatra walking into Sands in the 1960s.
Yeah, and all for something that is just a horrible example of American excess.
Yeah, I don't think it reflects well on us worldwide. No. I mean, there's a long list of things that don't reflect well on us, but the ability.
This is high, though. I think this is still very high on the list.
Yeah, I you know, when we were growing up, you know, your parents would tell you eat what you're on your plate because there's people starving in Ethiopia. And
yeah,
I believe it's Eritrea. Ethiopia's a little better stock. They got a couple Sam's Clubs there. But for us to be sitting there just seeing who can eat the most hot dogs while most of the world is looking for food, not a good look.
I can't imagine it's selling hot dogs either. But Nathan seems glued to it as their identity. It's their brand is jamming as many Nathans as you can down your throat. Till they stack up.
Have you had an actual Nathan's hot dog any time in the last quarter century, by the way?
No, I've not. I no. In fact, I don't even go to amusement parks. That's how much I hate Nathan and hot dogs. I won't go.
You know, Las Vegas is an amusement park, and there is a Nathan's outlet in Bally's. And I assume the original Nathan's on Coney Island is pretty good. But the Nathan's that you get in Bally's, roughly equivalent to a roadside dog kill that has been wrapped up in a towel for a week.
That's how they cooked it. They wrapped it up in a towel and left it on the sweltering asphalt. And this is about equivalent to that, which I'm going to say right now, a bit rare. I don't mean the hot dog itself. You're going to throw up enough eating 60 hot dogs, but if you have the hot dogs rare, that's trouble. My point about being rare is most things, even crappy little holes in food malls in Vegas, most food in Vegas, pretty solid. They got to be pretty solid to just kind of survive. But you're saying the Nathan's is kind of below that mark.
It is. And in fact, it's in the food court at Bally's. In the food court, that food court has Nathan's, Subway, and Sbarro, the graveyard of fast food, as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
Yeah, but
everybody at Subway has never tasted a sub before. And Sbarro had its moment, I think, about 18 years ago when it popped up in airports. And they go, oh, wow, I can get a slice of pizza in an airport. And then people started eating it, and its moment was over.
Yeah, but to be able to walk into that particular mall and that Sbarro shirt and hat and go to yourself, we're still king over here. Look at that Subway and Nathan's. We're top shelf. They're coming to us. Look at them milling about. Yeah, they're smelling that weird smell. They're walking our way. At least we smell like pizza. That should be their slogan. At least we smell like pizza. All right. Hey, you mentioned growing up. Let's find some interesting facts out about Norman Chad, because a lot of people don't know this. And for good reason, for years, sealed FBI documents. We could not get to these. Where were you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the shadow of our still nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And the last time I looked, we're a democracy 240-odd years strong. So I grew up in the shadow of Washington, D.C., in the neighboring suburb of Silver Spring, Maryland, just one spring. We were ahead of the whole drought, water shortage.
I like it.
One spring, and it's a good spring. Silver Spring, nice community. Yeah,
not cocky about their spring.
Well, in Florida, they have Silver Springs. You would expect that in Florida, their own rules.
Yeah, sure. And you would expect it to be man-made and spewing something more colorful than water. I'll leave it at that. All right. So you're in Silver Spring. You're at grade school, any high school, anything coming up athletically for you? Is there anything you grab onto as an athlete?
No. I spent most of my time indoors watching other people sweat. I thought it was stupid to go outside and get hit by other people. The only sport I had any acumen in, and I tried out for the high school team in Silver Spring at Northwood High, was tennis. And I made the tennis team, but it was you get four single slots and six double slots. And I was going to be number three doubles. And I realized I probably wasn't going to move up during the course of the 3 years, so much to my parents' dismay, because they said I was a quitter. I didn't quit. I looked at what's going on. I hate to talk about myself in the third person like Serena, but Norman ain't going to practice every day to play like doubles. I mean, I'm not playing doubles. That court is mine. That court is mine, Jeff. So I declined playing doubles, and that was the end of my athletic career.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you can decline anything with a high school coach, but that's a smart move. And I'll also say this, in defense of you with your parents, and I'll talk directly to them if they're still with us, Norman didn't quit. As the kids say today, he just pivoted to a new thing.
So I wish I would have thought of that word to tell my father, because he was quite upset that I didn't have the wherewithal to, you know, to go in there and work hard and make it to singles the next year. I pivoted.
Yeah. You knew your internal strengths. You were able to ascertain what you might have an affinity for, and better suited to get to that affinity more quickly than to waste time on a high school tennis court.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What's the worst thing you did in high school?
The worst thing I did in high school?
Yeah, out of all of it. Because I wasn't really a prankster. I didn't do anything like that. I was in band, which that's not the worst thing. You would think ordinarily that in and of itself. But you know, there are things that I did. Like I can't believe to this day that I did this. It just popped into my head. I was with my friends. We're in an old Buick Deuce and a Quarter, 72 Buick Deuce and a Quarter. No, 1970 Buick Deuce and a Quarter. And we decided that it had a hard time staying engaged. The engine had a hard time staying engaged. So you would occasionally have to get out and push it. It was one of my friend's cars. And so it died while we were moving, and I was on the passenger door, and they said, well, it's moving. Why don't we take advantage of that momentum? And Jeff, jump out and start pushing.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. So I, being incredibly susceptible to peer pressure, I just went right out the door without thinking, like, maybe my leg should be moving a little bit. Bam, right on my ass, nearly under the car. And fortunately, somehow rolled the other way as the car just rolled away. And to the howls of my friend, that's back when you could nearly kill a kid and still be friends.
Oh, no question. Plus, I know the cars had no seatbelts. I'm glad you fell out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You almost did the Sopranos thing, the self Richie Aprile run over Beansy 45 times with the same car thing with your Buick Deuce and a Quarter. I like that. I the only thing I did, and it's a two part story real quickly, is after one of my friends got his driver's license.
Wait, hang on, it's a two parter.
Yeah, because it's the worst thing I ever did in high school. So
the first part of this sponsored by the Thunder Burps, the Air Force belching team. Take it away, Norm.
The first part's not that bad. The second part's worse. But my friend Howard Yablon just got his driver's license. And then we were off school for Yom Kippur, and he's Jewish, and so he's got to fast the whole day. And I said, Howard, man, okay, we got a driver's license. We got to go up to a new Italian joint in Wheaton and eat. He said, I'll get in trouble. I can't eat. I convinced him to go up. He went up there like an idiot, by the way. He wore a white shirt. And he got some tomato sauce on his white shirt. He's got to try to sneak it back into the house so his parents, put it in the laundry. He didn't get away with it. Bang. He had, interrupted Yom Kippur. And, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. That's a huge deal. And especially with Italian tomato sauce on your shirt, that's not going to wear well.
No, it was cheap. It was cheap. This is like, $3.99 for all the pasta you could eat across from the mall. So I felt bad about that.
From the mall.
Yeah, it was across.
So they're not even in the mall.
Not in the mall. Mall access, like Beverly Hills adjacent.
Yeah, there you go.
So then then we were drinking, and this is back in the days when the drinking age was 18. So you'd be 16, 17, and clearly get a beer when you wanted to get a beer. So we got drunk one night in the winter. And we decided, and it was mostly me, to go up to Wendy's after it closes. They had some trees out front, small trees, and we decided to uproot one of the trees that looked like a Christmas tree and drop it off in as a continuation of the earlier Yom Kippur thing, drop it off in Howard's front yard to sort of start a conversion process to Christianity.
Gotcha. So the tomato sauce was the gateway drug. And then, boom, you were going right to the Christmas tree to tell these Jewish parents they'd lost their son
there
to
we
Christianity.
Go. So that was pretty stupid. And that was traced back to us, but no real consequences.
Did you actually uproot the tree?
Wasn't that hard. It wasn't large. There were two or three of us. And yeah, we didn't have an axe or anything. We're just going to pull it off the ground.
So,
you could pull it out of the ground.
Yeah. Hey, that doubles tennis paid off, man. That's some developed muscle right there. Hey, guys, the second part of that anecdote, the Christmas tree part, sponsored by Stripper Pole, the fishing rod that'll make them dance right into the boat. That Stripper Pole. All right. Listen, before we dive in, you know what? Should we dive right into the sports? You know what? Let me ask you one question.
Sure,
before
sure.
we dive into sports. You fulfill, I'm sure, what felt like a dream, at least at one point, which was to work for the Washington Post. You get a job with the Washington Post. And you have to feel like you've arrived. At what point do you realize, arrived where? At what point does the whole thing begin to sink in that it's another newspaper? I got to figure out how to survive here. It doesn't feel from the inside as prestigious as I had hoped it would be.
Let me give you a two-part answer, and I don't know if each part is sponsored.
All right. Well, no, of course this, but hang on. Part number one of the WAPO anecdote is sponsored by Zigzag Zit Cream. Your zits will never see it coming. Serpentine with Zigzag Zit Cream. This is part one, WAPO anecdote. Norm Chad, go.
Okay. So I was lucky enough to arrive at the Washington Post my freshman year. In college, actually not my freshman year in college, it was my freshman year at the University of Maryland, which back then was pretty much
barely accredited. Yeah.
It was a Jiffy Lube with a library. So I'm there my freshman year. This is 1976, Jeff. Okay. Did you see All the Presidents Men?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. That's an impressive looking newsroom, right?
That makes you think, wow, I'm walking into the temple of democracy.
And that is replicated from the Washington Post. I walk into the temple of democracy in 76, 2 years after Woodward and Bernstein brought down a president. Now, the Post can't bring down a president now. They've tried. You know, you cannot touch Trump. Deshaun Watson stuff, and he still would be Donald Trump.
You can only hope to contain him.
You got it. So I'm walking into the Post in September of 1976, and you are awed. I mean, it's incredible. It's the newsroom. You can see Woodward. You can see Bradley. You can see Bernstein. In fact, I wasn't that impressed with Bradley. Jason Robards was better as Ben Bradley than Ben Bradley was as Ben Bradley. And Ben Bradley was pretty good as Ben Bradley, but Robards was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, he was unbelievable. Martha Graham feels the same way. All right, go ahead.
Second part of that story is one of my first jobs is the Friday Night Phones.
Second part of the story. So Norm Chad has walked into WAPO, the temple of democracy. Part two of the story sponsored by Nugentix. Wiener pills directly from Ted Nugent. Take it away, Norm.
You know, one of your first jobs is to work a Friday night high school football night. Okay. So I'm working the phones and people call in their results. We got to get the results. We got to get the score by quarter. We got to get who scores. Okay. These are mostly 16-year-olds who at the time were still watching Leave It to Beaver on rerun.
Sure.
So get this information on deadline on a Friday night. Hey, what's going on? I got the Rockville Magruder score. Okay, what's the score? I think 17-13. You think 17-13? It's the Washington Post. Okay. We reported on Nixon. We reported on the Pentagon Papers. I need a score. Okay, let's say 17-13. They give you the score. They don't know the names of anybody.
Yeah.
And then you got to turn it into the boss. And the boss looks at all the holes. And he goes, no, you don't get off the phone. Ask to their coach. You don't get off the phone till you get score by a quarter. Total score. Who scored the touchdowns? How long were the touchdowns?
Yeah.
It was a tough job. And that made me think this isn't exactly,
So even the bottom rung at the Temple of Democracy needed to achieve a certain level of journalistic integrity. But unfortunately, at this point, you're relying on the one 16-year-old who has access to a phone and isn't completely hammered or under the bleachers necking to try to get your box score.
It's interesting you bring up the phone, sir, because at that time, this is pre-cell phone for anybody out there. Sure. Okay. We had some of them would be calling from payphone. Oh,
yeah.
Well, they call from the payphone sometimes. They'd be, you know, you're like a payphone outside of a 7-Eleven giving you the results.
Yeah.
You'd hear them on the phone saying, "I'll be off in a second, man. I got to do this call." The person behind them is complaining. "I got to make a call, man. My girlfriend's." So this is ridiculous. They're on payphones in parking lots of 7-Elevens giving you bad results.
Yeah, and you need the people. You need the will of the people, even at this level, to weigh in, to help out, to contribute, to have the score right, to have the longest run correct, to know who won, who lost, by what margin. Because as WAPO likes to say, democracy dies in darkness. Let's move on. Hey, that was sponsored by 45-Hour Energy Drink. Live big, crash hard. Why don't you guys dive into some sports? Good idea, Chet. Live Golf. Is it a legit money grab in a capitalistic system, or is it just disgusting blood money? Where do you land on this?
Okay, it's in the middle. It's both. You can be both. It doesn't have to be either or.
Well, I wasn't saying it needed to be either or. I just have to posit the question. And
you said, is it this or is it that? You said, is it this or is it that?
Yeah.
If that's not either or, I don't know what is either or.
Yeah. Just behind you, you're one of those, maybe a Merlot. Mellow you out a little bit.
It's early here on the West Coast. So
that's true.
Let's just parse this down and let's in two parts.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, why not? Hang on. First part of this answer to the Live Golf question, sponsored by Rocket City, the JetBlue of space travel. Take it away, Norm.
All right. So all this rigmarole about, for instance, we heard from Tiger and Rory about we have tradition at the PGA. You don't want to interrupt the tradition. You want to interrupt this. It's a competing golf business entity. Just like the NFL had AFL competed with the NFL, just like the ABA competed with the NBA, just like there's various tennis tours. So that whole business is BS. It's a business venture. It's a money grab. But that's what I think we were brought up on here in democracy when it didn't die in darkness.
I would agree to the conclusion of part one of the Live Golf opinion. But I would also add only that it would be as if in the old NFL-AFL battle before the merger in a tremendous capitalistic society, this is the way it's done. But it would be as if the AFL had been sponsored, you know, by Stalin.
Okay, that gets us to number two. Okay.
Oh, number two, sponsored by River Glance, the Irish dance sensation where only their eyes move. That's River Glance. Tickets available now. Okay, good.
Okay. Listen, you libertard, woke, virtual signal. Let me tell you something about this part, okay? And I wouldn't want to do business with the Saudis either for a lot of reasons. So, yes, is it blood money? Let's concede that it's blood money. In fact, what's a new term that we, sport washing is a new term, by the way.
Sport washing.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot. It's getting me tired. It's where, in this case, the Saudis are trying to clean up their reputation or make them part of the mainstream by using sports. And this has been done, by the way, going back to the start of time. And certainly what, you know, I don't want to get into the Hitler thing because this is, you know.
Yeah.
But this is
what Hitler just did a whole beautiful Yom Kippur anecdote. We don't need to sully it with a Hitler thing.
So the failed painter, artist, did a whole thing with this in the 32 Olympics or 36 Olympics when he was hosting in Berlin, where he was going to showcase the Republic.
Right.
But so, yeah. Is it blood money? Yes. And all this. Okay. Okay. Last time I looked, where do we live?
We live in Silver Spring.
This wasn't either or. Where do we live? In the
United States of America, I believe, is the answer you're looking for.
Okay. Where democracy doesn't die in darkness, trust me. It dies for a lot of other reasons. Okay. So if it dies
in the full light of a 7-Eleven parking lot. Continue.
Golfers are taking this blood money. Okay. They're about seventh in line to take this blood money. Every day of the week, there is U.S. business doing business with Saudi Arabia. Every day of the week, the U.S. government is doing business with Saudi Arabia. Oh, suddenly the golfers are doing business with Saudi Arabia, and they're Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Look them up if you don't know who those people are. It's in Google.
Wow, very intense. Gentlemen, that was sponsored by Handelabra, the world's fanciest doorknob. Wow, what a wrap up there. Haven't heard that in a long time on a Norm Chat. That's why he's the best, Jeff. I fully understand. So, well, we sorted that out, sort of. U.S. Open tennis. For me, unwatchable. Both men and women hit it far too hard. They hit it really hard, back and forth really hard. And then someone has an asthma attack, and that's the end of the point. Finesse is a word long gone from tennis, it appears.
It's a different game, my friend. When I was back pivoting from...
And as a tennis player, you should be able to...
With a wooden racket and pothole-filled courts, you had to have some finesse. You had to have some ground strokes. Okay. Yeah. Certainly in the men's game more than the women's game, but even the women's game, if the woman is Serena, and we can get back to her in a moment.
Oh, well, wow. Yeah, what's backing up on you there?
Okay.
Did you have an early breakfast or are you waiting?
That was a Serena thing because I'm not in line to put her up as the next Mother Teresa, even though she's the greatest, you know, one of the greatest athletes of all time. But the tennis thing is that the equipment changed. Everyone got bigger and stronger. So if you're like Rod Laver today, against Roger Federer today. That's not a Margaret Court against who has the most Grand Slam titles of any woman, 24, against Serena today. That's six love. So it's a different game. It's harder to watch. I agree with you. The women are easier to watch because sometimes they do have great rallies back and forth.
I agree.
So I think it's more fun to watch. But yeah, it is like you. It is very, very difficult for me to watch most of tennis today, except the French Open, which is, you know, played on some school playground, dirt court. So again, they have to have a lot of strokes.
Yeah. I'm not even sure they work that hard on the sand court. On the, what do they call it? Is that it? Sand court? No.
There's the French Open?
Yeah.
No, that's not sand. That's not gravel.
Dirt.
It's clay. It's clay. It's clay.
Clay. Wow.
What's with clay? What's with clay there anyway?
Two guys with a combined 70 years in sports, and it took us
two minutes
to come on. Well, and thank God you were my guest, or I'd still be sitting here. If it was Brian Stack from last week, forget it. We'd be still trying to mull and ponder what the hell the name of that material was. Hey, listen, that tennis insight sponsored by Nanazon Prime. Now get that stale butterscotch candy from grandma overnight with Nanazon Prime. All right. You got any more for him? Yeah, I got more sports for him. Check this out. NFL, Aaron Rodgers. Is he actually more dangerous having tripped on ayahuasca? Because here's my thinking. I think he's getting his dander up in a good old fashioned way. He's like, oh, you think I can't do it? You think everybody comes into Lambeau and beats me in a playoff game? You think I don't have the receivers? I think he's one of these guys psychologically that thrives playing from not even behind, from way behind, from backed into a corner behind. I think that's when he's at his best.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Wisconsin-born Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Acolyte.
Acolyte. I got no problem.
Look it up.
Hey, I grew up Catholic. I know what a freaking acolyte is.
That's right, because it's got some religious overtones to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of religious overtones, let's go back with Aaron, your boy.
I'll put it on the cast so I can serve Mass with Aaron Rodgers if I have to.
Let's talk about your boy. And I love Aaron Rodgers on a million levels. Love watching him play. He's personable. Love to see the way he slings it. He's one of the great quarterbacks in NFL history. Apparently, you know, so careful with his body that he won't put a vaccine into it because he's not sure what it's going to do to his body scientifically.
Right.
But willing to go to Peru for, I believe, a religious retreat or some type of religious timeshare to take a hallucinogenic drug that was going to somehow motivate him and medicinally cure him.
You're right. I don't want you to throw a classic old school Peruvian tribe under the bus. This is something they do.
Yeah.
That Aaron just happened to kind of, you know, hey, if you're in Rome, you see a pizza joint, you're going to pop in.
Well, not if it's Domino's.
Well, okay, that's true. So you're saying he's living off he's sort of drafting in the wake of the Peruvian tribe on the whole ayahuasca thing.
Yes.
And it's BS. So your personal hatred for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't have a hatred. It's just he's kind of, you know, he's trying to be, you know, he's a little hypocritical. He's trying to be a little bit pregnant. Always hard to be a little bit pregnant. And so, yeah, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. But you just take a look at his postseasons in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is the equivalent of one Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Well, he's been in the league 5-6 years. He's terrible. He's lost home playoff games. He's terrible in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes, who's not a lot of trouble. Patrick Mahomes has made like the three Super Bowls or three AFC championship games.
Whatever it is. Yeah, we don't need this. Why sully this whole process with actual facts?
Sorry.
So you're high on Mahomes, and understandably with the recent track record, not as high on Rodgers in terms of this coming season. And I'll say this again. I think backed up, I think he's going to surprise some people. You know, he's got a girlfriend named Blue.
He's got a girlfriend named
what? Crystal Blue Persuasion is her name, I think.
Blue. Can we mention briefly two other quarterbacks on my mind?
Sure.
One of them. I know that Chet in the update at the top of the.
Incidentally, these are quarterback evaluations sponsored by JCPenney, dressing homicide detectives for over 60 years. Take it away, Norm.
Yeah, Chet had, and he was sourced, I'm sure. He had Brady taking the 11-day leave for some type of retool, body thing, whatever he goes. The fountain of youth, whatever he does. Okay, I know, and I don't need to source this. He went home because he was having a problem with Giselle. I know, as a New York Post reported, that she's unhappy. He's still playing football. You don't leave training camp for 11 days. You know, unless it's something serious, you don't leave. If you're a major union organizer, you don't leave a picket line in the middle of the picket line unless there is trouble at home. Your wife says you get it back.
I got you. Yeah.
You went home because there was trouble on the ranch. Trust me.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's spoken from a guy who's.
This is not necessary.
Who's been through troubles on several ranches.
I don't see why you should sideswipe me. I'm here providing
insight. I'm trying to. Hey, guys, that's sponsored by. Sponsored by Acetaminophen. Blow the aspirin right into your face with Acetaminophen. Okay, one last shot. College football. Nick Saban squawking about NIL payments seems a little marginal.
Marginal. You know, okay. Forget the fact that the whole NIL, it has just moved the corruption from one filing cabinet to another. Especially the players now are going to be
in the several pods, storage rooms outside of the Alabama football stadium. They've moved they're just moving files among pods, is what you're saying, man. Okay.
So I don't want to hear, again, Nick getting all high and holy about the NIL, because he's going to benefit from the NILs. So he doesn't even have to open his eyes or close his eyes, and they're going to be taken care of behind him. It's like when John Wooden was at UCLA, great coach, but he had a guy on staff, Sam, whatever his name was, who pretty much took care of whatever the payments need to be for the athletes coming into town. And John Wooden could just, you know, I got no blood on my hands.
Nothing to do with it, right?
Same way. So Alabama, Georgia, and USC essentially now can go to whatever. They can go to Tiffany's. They can go to Nordstrom. They can go to Neiman Marcus and buy whatever they want every season. They're going to dominate this soon-to-be-expanded 12-team playoff, which, by the way, you didn't read the fine print, that now at 12 teams, Notre Dame is in that playoff every year, regardless of record. They go 1-10, they don't make it. They go 0-11, they make it. Trust me. So this new 12-team playoff is a bunch of hooey on a stick, because they should just go to 128 teams, which is how many Division I teams play football.
Right.
They get a 128-team playoff, Jeff. 128-team playoff. You start the opening, you play regular season, September, October, November, 10, 12 games. Then you go to the 100. Everybody makes the playoffs. The opening couple of weekends would be March Madness in December. You'd have games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all these teams. You'd have extra home games for the teams hosting the games. And then you still have a true national champion, just like you almost do in NCAA basketball. Yeah. And then Nick Saban can't sit there and talk about LSU is going to break the rules, but I stand for goodness.
Right. You know when something's corrupt in a college football, when Iowa State's doing it, when it gets that deep, then you go, okay, maybe we should look into this. this seems to be affecting college football because they're doing it in places like Davidson.
Big Ten? How about your prize Big Ten?
Okay. Well, I was about to wrap up, but let's dive in. You want to take a shot? Go ahead.
But your Big Ten, which used to be the Big Ten, it was the heart of
Wait a second, my Big Ten. The Terps are in it now too. It's
we shouldn't be in it too. Rutgers shouldn't be in it too. It's absurd. The Big Ten's now like the British Empire. The sun never sets on the Big Ten. It's got schooled every time though.
That's right. We have little princes too. We have a beautiful parade. We have a castle in Chicago. It's an unbelievable, we have an army. That's how big the Big Ten is now. That's how big the empire is. We have an army and a navy. We're working on an air force. You don't like it. You don't like the Big Ten that big. You don't like USC and UCLA coming into the Big Ten.
No, not even because, you know, you prefer tradition and you hate change. And yeah, I'm like that all the time. I hate, you know, I got shoes that I still go to a shoe repair shop to put new soles on because I don't want to give them up. And you know how hard it is to find a shoe repair shop?
No. They're two frontage roads past the 7-Eleven at your and the Italian food joint in Silver Spring. Sure. That's how hard it is to find a cobbler.
That's what it was, a cobbler.
Well, look, you're talking to an Italian. I know all the terms for shoeing.
I want to hold you up, but just to show you what it's all like, the UCLA president was going into Pac-12 meetings and telling them, you know, we don't really want to expand. We don't want to go after this or that for this reason. At the same time that she was negotiating to leave the Pac-12 to go to another conference that was going to expand. That's how it works, Jeff. You think Washington's the only place with all these webs of discussion? No. The presence of our institutions of higher learning are, you know, playing their little three-card Monty out on the street.
Right.
I'm done.
Corruption nationwide, whether it's Live Golf or the Big Ten, Norm Chad's opinions. Thank you, Chad. Wow. Out of nowhere, he just popped that in. My guest, folks, and I use the term loosely, the incredible Norman Chad. Follow him on Twitter, at Norman Chad. There's no messing around here. And what else? Where do we – you got a thing going at the CBS. You mentioned it earlier.
Network is where the World Series of Poker is. The main event will start airing later this month on CBS Sports Network. And I'll be retooling my short-lived Gambling Mad podcast.
Yes.
Which will be starting again this month and can be, you know, all your normal podcasts. Plus, it can be found on UFC Fight Pass. That's right, UFCFightPass.com. And I've also doing monthly UFC commentaries because I have quite a history in mixed martial arts, but that's for another day and another time.
Sure. Yeah, that's a whole other episode. Awesome. Although I'll say this, the roots of your mixed martial arts career was in doubles tennis back in Silver Spring. That was a contact sport back then. Norm, thanks a lot for coming on, buddy.
All right, don't call me, I'll call you.
Follow me on Twitter, at Real Jeff Cesario. My album, What Was I Thinking, streaming everywhere. The Play With Pain mugs. That's right. I got coffee mugs available at jeffcesario.com. Up in the upper corner, go buy them. They're great. Get a head start on all that Christmas stuff. Don't let the kids rip up the tree from a restaurant and dump in your front yard just to mess up your Yom Kippur. Get a mug. Go to the jeffcesario.com site and get a mug. Check the website for potential stand-up dates. I'm sneaking back out here and there on the road. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Spread the word. We're having a blast here, as you can see. And I appreciate you folks listening. Chet, do you have Anything cooking this weekend? Cooking, of course. This weekend I'll be in Mildew Springs, Mississippi, calling the World Sweating Invitational for moistfreaks.com. The Turks, once again, expected to take the team competition. Sponsored by Tempur-Pedic, the lightly fried adjustable mattress, and MyPillow Case. Make any pillow your pillow with MyPillow Case. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.